I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the WWE SmackDown After Show. I am Josh Tariff. We're breaking down everything in the world of WWE SmackDown this week. Got some of the crew with me here this week. Brian Santos is off this week, but Gabby Loren is back. How are you, Gabby?
I'm doing great. Loving this LA weather. It's finally not raining here.
This is true. No, we got no rain. We got sunshine. It's nice looking at it from my windows.
Yep. And also going on ones, you know, getting that vitamin D.
Absolutely. And Tom Connolly hanging out as well.
Yep, been going on my walks, you know, getting outside. We put the babies in a pool yesterday. We got a pool for them, so.
I saw your Instagram.
Yeah. It was really cute. Orion wasn't a fan of it, but he likes to get baths, which is weird. But Phoenix was just loving it, so we'll probably do it again tomorrow.
It's so hot here. Game pool.
I don't know if you'd fit in there.
I don't think I would either. But you know,
you're pretty short. Sure. But
if we can get a photo of Gabby in that baby pool, that would be fantastic.
I'll do it, and I'll bring Kirby, and I'll fit both of us in there.
You probably could fit in there. It's decent size. I know. I wanted to get a bigger one, so I could fit it too. But then I was like, I'll start with the small one.
And of course, Tom, you and your fiance, you guys celebrated your first Mother's Day this past week. For those of you watching and listening, that are mothers, so you had a good Mother's Day. Was there anything exciting with it, Tom?
No, I mean, it's like Skyping everyone. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's different, very different than, you know, we did a drive by of her mom's house to see, you know, so she could see the babies. And it's so weird being this way, you know. You're like, oh, hi, see ya, bye. I don't know. It kind of sucks. But, you know, we made it through, and we're still, you know, quarantining ourselves and living, you know, out of our house.
Well,
in my house, yes.
Well, you know what I think was the perfect Mother's Day gift for all the mothers out there? Was the fact that the man that is always wished to be taken home to meet mother is our Mr. Money in the Bank. I am, of course, talking about the man known as Otis, the kind-hearted ham-eating soul that he is, somehow won Money in the Bank without climbing the ladder. And he starts off this week's SmackDown as a guest on Miz TV with Morrison is out there as well. I found it kind of interesting because when Otis came out to the Heavy Machinery music, but the Tron was only saying Otis, did not say Tucker, did not say Heavy Machinery. What's happening?
Oh man. Poor Tuggy.
They continue to crack jokes of Otis's weight because he breaks through the chair. And Miz and Morrison are asking him questions about how did you actually get Mandy? Morrison even goes as far to ask, are you really that good in the sack? Then they get to the bottom of what exactly is in the briefcase where it says the contract. Some Rolaids and some Gas X and some Bratwurst in case I get hungry. But then we actually get the vulnerable side of Otis. We're learning more about the history of Otis. So he talks about how he grew up with a learning disability and how his mother was very supportive of him growing up. And he does everything for his mother. And we see photos of him as a child. And him posing as a wrestler when he was a kid. So Miz and Morrison doing what heels should be doing, making fun of those photos, while Otis is still being all positive about it. He's check out that kid, and I was strong then, strong now, stuff like that. And eventually, Miz and Morrison were fed up, disgusted in the fact that Otis is Money in the Bank, and challenge him to a match, a tag team match. And Otis tells us that Tucker has dysentery from the Oregon Trail, so he's not there tonight, and he will find a partner. I loved this Miz TV segment because I thought we got to learn more about who Otis actually is. And Miz was just, and Morrison both actually, for that matter, were really on point, I thought, with just being jackasses.
Oh, yeah. I love Miz and Morrison. I've said this millions of times. These two together are fantastic. The banter is amazing. I feel like tonight's promo was perfectly done. And then to bring in Otis into this segment, it was just super funny. But then it also is probably the only situation and the only wrestler that tugs at my heartstrings like this. I don't know about you guys, but there's so many moments where I'm just like, yes, he's coming out on top. Or, oh, no, I feel so bad that this happened to him. And it's like constantly playing with my emotions or going back and forth. And I feel so guilty. But I don't know if any other wrestler right now is giving me that sort of an impact. Like, they're not making me feel so attached to them emotionally like this.
That's why I was saying he's the guy that you want to bring home to meet your mom and dad. Like, he's just such a nice guy.
Yeah, he is a great guy. I don't know if my mom would necessarily approve, but I'm just joking. But, I mean, he's just, like, such a teddy bear. And all of his actions, like, he's really invested in his character. You know, from breaking the chair to just his reactions to the Miz and Morrison and any other wrestler on the roster, you really see that he eats, sleeps, and breathes Otis.
Definitely. Yeah, Tom,
I agree. I thought it was a great way to get to know him and, like, find out something about him that we never would have ever found out, you know, growing up with a disability. Like, we never, ever would have found, like, we never know anything like that of, like, most wrestlers, unless it's, like, some, you know, backstage thing they maybe do where we kind of find out, like, oh, you know, like, kind of like Bayley and Sasha, like, writing those letters and that kind of stuff when they were kids. Yeah, I thought it was great. I didn't understand why that dude came, brought another chair to the ring in the middle of
that
everything.
Was weird. I know.
But then that's where I feel like Miz and Morrison do such a great job because they play it off. Like, Miz is so experienced in television that he's able to improv. Like how we do. We're live. We're able to host live. Some people can't do that. They have to do a retake every 5 seconds. You know,
they took improv classes at my improv theater in L.A. back in the day. When they were tag teaming, they were sent to take classes. So they've certainly paid off because they just can react to anything organically.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's good because they're like actual friends. So you're like, okay, well,
yes,
you know, it makes sense that they can easily bounce off of each other. I get the whole like breaking the chair was more like a sympathy thing, but I just don't get where they're going with that. Like, why does he like? Is it just because he's like clumsy or he's super overweight? Like, I don't, you know, I get though, but I don't get that part of it though. Like, I mean, we already feel something for him already. I don't get the idea of like making, you're like adding something on top of it that doesn't need to be there. At least for me,
who weighs more, Braun or Otis? Because Braun has climbed ladders and he's sat in the chair with Alexa and there's been no issue.
Exactly. Like, I don't understand. Like, that's the part where you're like, why are you going? To me, that just seems like them in the back being like, let's just make fun of one more little thing. But I don't think that's like really like, you know, getting it over. Like, I already feel sympathy for him. So I don't need another thing like that to add to it. That's just me. But I thought it was great. I like the idea. I mean, poor Tucker. He's like, you know, up a creek without a paddle now.
Well, apparently he's stuck on the Oregon Trail with dysentery.
Yeah.
According to Otis.
I think I feel real bad for him because I don't know if I saw an article before or maybe it was right after Money in the Bank where it was like an interview where he was saying like, oh, we would cash in on the tag titles with the briefcase, which I thought was cool because it's something completely different that we've never seen before. But now it's like, oh, now we're just going to go the same route we do with every other Money in the Bank winner and like have him like, you know, if it's a good guy, he cheeses cashing in kind of, but you know, I don't know. I guess we have to see what happens, but I think in the end, it's, I don't, do you think he's going to actually cash in and win?
Well, I mean, let me just, simple yes or no question to you guys. Based on who Otis is right now, do you see him possibly ever cashing on Braun Strowman? Yes or no? Just say yes or no.
No.
I think there needs to be more development.
Right. Do you see Otis possibly ever cashing on The Fiend? Yes or no?
No.
Not The Fiend.
Right. And those are obviously the two guys at the moment in the title picture. Things will certainly change as the months go on. Mm-hmm. But I think there could be more to this. And if they did a certain thing tonight, which we'll get to a little bit, I'll explain my little miniature fantasy booking thing that obviously is not happening. But I want people to hear it so they listen, because we know that they listen to us, because then adjustments get made. We say them on here, and then a few weeks later, we see it on television.
Or there's just a collective consciousness, and we're all just sharing each other's thoughts.
Or that. Or that. I want to take credit, though.
I have the weight of Otis and Braun Strowman.
Okay.
Braun Strowman is 385, and Otis is 330. So Otis actually weighs less.
So Braun is 50-plus pounds heavier than him.
Yeah.
Doesn't have any effect on ladders or chairs. All right. Just because he's taller and it's more evened out.
He's just a little lighter on his feet, I guess.
I guess so.
Wait, are we going to talk about Money in the Bank at all?
If you want to spend a couple quick minutes on it, we can.
Did you guys
like it? I know
yes or no.
For a long time about it.
We had a long text message conversation the other day about it.
I know a number of people enjoyed it, and I'm glad they enjoyed it. I personally was not a fan of how the Money in the Bank match went overall. I'm fine with Otis winning. I'm fine with Oscar winning. I have no problem with the results. There was a number of things in there that I questioned, but the cinematic type matches are going to have that, because I absolutely love the Boneyard match, and I know some people that hated it, and that's fine. It's just your interpretation of it. I know people who love the Money in the Bank match. I did not like it. For time constraints, I'll just kind of leave it at that, because I can go on for like 10, 15 minutes for all the different things I did not enjoy about it, but it just wasn't for me.
Tom, what do you think?
I mean, it sucks because I feel like we've talked about it, and it's like, it could have been so much better than what it was. It could have been way more interesting than it was. It feels like they just kind of were like, hey guys, run around the building and we'll just film you. Like, it wasn't like, you know, a lot of things. I'm sure it was way more planned than that. I'm not saying that, but it just seemed like, we're going to make sure we go into this room and this room and this room, and we're going to have some weird random surprises, but nothing. I think also because of the quarantine, you know what I mean? They couldn't have like really cool surprises, I think, but it wasn't the clown thing.
What do you mean?
No, they were in Connecticut though. So,
but
like the Doink the Clown thing made no sense to me at all.
Was it Doink though? We don't even know if it was Doink.
Well, it looked like him. It was just so creepy and just weird and made no sense. I didn't like that not everyone made it to the roof.
Yep.
And there was no explanation. The easy explanation for any of this, which is like, how many times have we seen it in every movie where someone's running away from someone, they grab like a piece of wood or get something and they like shove it in the door jam. So then if someone's trying to follow behind them, they can't get in or get out. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They could have easily have done that, where I think it would have been like, I know they showed like or Naya like throw Dana or someone into like a soda machine, where it's like, I wish it would have been like a slow soda machine that they just like knocked over in front of the door. And like, obviously if it's Dana and like Carmella, they're not that they're strong, but they're not that strong to move a soda machine. If Naya could tip it, it's going to take, you know, it'd be very different if they had like all of them, whoever didn't make it to the roof, were still like trying to get in. And we saw like another angle of them, or another view of them like trying to move the soda machine or something, or trying to get the door open to at least make it to the roof. But we got none of that. And it was just like, okay, whatever. They just didn't make it. Yet Elias made it to the roof, and he wasn't even in the match.
Yeah. The continuity is, like, very important, especially in movies, so it should be accounted for in these matches as well. I do, however, love the results just like Josh did. And, yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised and happy. So I feel like we're going to have some, like, good direction going right now because of that.
Mm. And I will say, I called Asuka or Shayna choking out Rey Mysterio.
You did.
I was so happy when that happened. I think I cheered when it happened.
Well, you said Shayna would choke out Rey. You also said Asuka would win. And I said Rey would get thrown off the building. So...
Wow. Prediction
to the secondary building.
That went nonchalant on the final the next day. Again, we can go on for hours just on that. That drove me nuts. Let's get back into SmackDown. Because we have an Intercontinental Championship that's in abeyance. Sami Zayn is quote unquote unable to compete because he's not traveling due to the pandemic. So they're stripping him of the title. All right.
That's fine. BS. We'll
play this game. But if that's what we got to do, then we'll do that. Hopefully the result of this tournament will bring back the other Intercontinental Championship. Because the new one is not good. So our bracket, because we get into the first round match, which is Elias versus King Corbin. But to me, this bracket, I get what they were trying to do, but it makes no sense to me. Because you have Elias and Corbin, rivalry. Gulak versus Dan O'Brien, which we'll get into a little later. Buddies, but they're putting them against each other in the first round. Sheamus versus Hardy, rivalry in a first round match. And then, oh yeah, AJ Styles apparently is on SmackDown now. With no explanation. It's not the invitational type rule that they've said out four times a year a superstar can appear on another show because he's in a damn tournament. So AJ is on SmackDown, which again, Tom, you and I predicted last week, but we said it because he was money in the and then show up on SmackDown. So we were partial credit on that. But so it's just like, I find it's like a very unique bracket. Because one, AJ Styles, just with no announcement about it now on SmackDown. And then we're just doing matches with pretty much rivalries in the first round.
Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak.
But they were a rivalry, and then they became friends. It could then eventually go back into a rivalry if they chose to go that route.
They're friends right now based on their interaction.
Right now. But now, I mean, we'll get into it, but now Daniel Bryan's 2-0 on Gulak. But the first match, Elias versus Corbin. You know, we've talked about this with Corbin. He's a good wrestler. But I just cannot be entertained for whatever reason when he's wrestling bigger guys and when he's typically the faster of the two. Everything in this match, there was nothing wrong with the match. Corbin and Elias did everything well. But I felt bored, and I don't know why.
I think I know why. Because you've seen this about, I don't know, 10 times. And, you know, they've been fighting forever, and not in the good way where people chant they want them to fight forever.
it gets so personal, Tom, that Corbin destroys the guitar, and Elias gets so angry that he gives back with an inside cradle and gets the win.
Like, he couldn't even win with just the knee to the face? Why was that not just, like, the finisher? Or why didn't he do his elbow? Like, why didn't he hit the knee to the face?
And then elbow.
And then go up top to get the elbow. And also, like, Elias won at WrestleMania, right?
Yep.
Okay. So it's like, what are we doing with Corbin too? Because he's supposed to be, you know, he's fighting McIntyre on Raw Monday. Why would you make him lose
so much momentum for that?
Yeah, why would you make him lose on in this tournament to where, like, at least, like, hey, he wins his match in the tournament. He's going on to fight McIntyre. Maybe he at least has, you know, a good showing there, but he can at least come back and be like, well, listen, I took the champ on Raw to the limits, and now I'm definitely going to win this, you know, Intercontinental Championship. I don't know. And is AJ a heel? Is AJ a face? Like, it's so hard to tell what he's doing because Nakamura's a heel. So it's like, what, I don't, and like, yeah, these, the brackets are very interesting to where we kind of were texting. I was like, I think you were like, oh, it's going to lead to Hardy and Sheamus at the end, which I was like, at first, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Now they're just like,
now they're throwing just in the first round.
Matches away for whatever, just to have them in the tournament, which was like, okay, Nakamura and AJ, I want to see that match. Daniel Bryan and Gulak, sure, I'll watch it again. Sure. Hardy and Sheamus, yeah, I don't think we've ever seen that ever. Maybe, I don't remember, like, years and years ago. And then the Corbin Elias match, I was like, whatever, I don't care about that. I just don't care. That's what makes me feel. I don't care about either of those guys, and they don't make me care about them. That's where it comes down to.
I think that this match, I felt the same way as Josh. I wasn't super tuned into it. I think we have seen a lot of the same stuff, especially with Corbin. But I feel like this was the natural way to maybe end their story. They had this story continuing from WrestleMania, so maybe this will finally finish it, and Corbin can move on to somebody else. Because who knows, once Elias moves forward, if he gets knocked out, you know, Corbin could then go after whoever wins this ultimate, like, what is it called again?
The tournament.
So I just think that, like, his eyes could be set on a different target once we move forward away from Elias even. I don't think Elias is going to win against either an AJ or a Nakamura. To be honest, I feel like all of these pairings are pretty obvious with who's going to win. I think it's probably going to be AJ Styles. It's going to be not Sheamus.
Jeff Hardy,
because Jeff Hardy is being pushed right now since he's returning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And who's our last duo? Daniel Bryan. So it's going to be Daniel Bryan. And that was, we're going to get to it, but it's an obvious given to me that Daniel Bryan was going to win that too. You know? I think it's very clear here.
Yeah, and so we'll see how the bracket continues to shape up. Now, we have Otis in the back trying to find a tag team partner. He finds Sheamus. He asks Sheamus. Sheamus says no. Then how dare Sheamus? The Money in the Bank was just asking for your help. Then Otis
finds Mandy. Talking about, though, Josh, the parts that make me sad and, like, emotionally connected to Otis, because it's like, man, if I was Mandy, I would have went right over to him and helped him get his tag team partner. And worked with him to do that. Like, I thought she was going to have some say, but no, she didn't have too much.
Well, she did.
She did, because she told him, hey, you should ask Braun. And then he goes and finds Braun. Braun says he'll think about it. Because she won't fight his battles.
Well, I don't know. We'll get. I have a theory later. We'll get into this.
Listen, all the girls fight the men's battles. Look at Zelina Vega when she's working with Andrade and Lana with Rusev. Like, the girls always like fighting the battles. They like to be involved, but for some reason Mandy's pretty hands off. Like, she gives a little bit of advice, but is she really in love with Otis?
Yeah, because they're baby faces and the others that you describe, they're heels.
Okay, I can give you a baby face if you want a baby face example.
Go ahead.
You do. Okay, let me think of other couples.
All right, we'll come back. That's fine.
You guys help me out if you're watching.
Becky Lynch and Seth.
Section.
Becky
Give
and Seth,
baby
right?
Face got involved.
Does Becky force Seth to do stuff?
No, but she helped him before.
They teamed, but that's not that's not like her going up to somebody and forcing them to do something with Seth.
No, there's no forcing. This is friendly support here. I'm not talking about pulling someone's arm. It's supposed to be like, you know, Mandy, it's the idea that women have power, right? So if I walk in a room and try to get away with like a deal, let's say, like a discount at a store, it might be easier for the pretty girl to walk in and ask for that as opposed to just like the schlump Otis. You know what I'm saying? So like,
now he's a schlump.
All I know is next time I have to make a large purchase, I'm gonna have to bring Gabby with me to help negotiate.
True. Even my brother would have,
because I'm just a schlump that would walk into the store and be like, that looks good.
Listen, my brother's not a schlump, but he had me handle Spectrum internet to get them like all sorted and to get a better deal. So if you want something, you need to ask a pretty girl on the side to help you out, because we get all away right. with things a lot of guys don't get away with, point blank.
Right. Fair enough. I will remember that. Women's action, Naomi versus Dana Brooke, rematch from a few weeks ago of Dana pull off the upset to get the Money in the Bank spot, and then just proceeded to, not her fault, but they made her look like an absolute moron during the match. And then the match happens tonight, and no real bounce back from everything on Money in the Bank and how she was acting, because she outsmarts Naomi and counters her and beats her again. So if Dana looks as dumb as she did on Money in the Bank, but is still outsmarting Naomi, what the hell are they doing with Naomi?
But yeah. I don't think she was like smarter than her, though. Because it seemed like, if you listen to the commentators, they're like, oh, she just fell on top of her and she pinned her. Like, it wasn't like, it was more.
She counted the roll up.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I don't understand this. I think this is a horrible storyline, or however they're doing this with Dana. Makes no sense. Now she's just like, it just seems like, oh, now I'm just going to be real dumb. And it's like, what do we do? Why are we doing that? That makes no sense. It's stupid. Her yelling in the Money in the Bank match, where's the briefcase? You were told a million times on the roof. Like, why are you yelling at the other people where the briefcase is? And then, like, she, you know, grabbed that fake one where it's like, I just don't get what you're doing. And then she keep, like, it was like, they're trying to make her, like, a weird Santino character.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, no, but she walked in with like the picture still around her. Like, it was like weird stuff like that where you're like trying to make her kind of like not super intelligent but kind of weirdly funny, but then it's like she slipped on the water, like, but nobody else slipped on the water. I don't know. I think it's a real stupid move to go on this way, and I don't like it at all. Like, I just think I don't understand it. And I think in the end, I feel like we're just like, this is getting us to a Naomi turn is what we're coming down to, I think.
And I think you might be right about that.
Do you guys want that to happen? I don't really feel like that would be in Naomi's best interest. I love Naomi, how she has her face and her character, everything about her.
Yeah. I mean, my only intrigue is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we've ever seen Naomi as a heel. So
maybe a little bit team bad, a little maybe.
But she was still kind of coming out of her shell back then too. And that was how many years ago? 5-6 years ago?
Yeah. And does she keep the entrance or no?
I don't know. Yeah, that's the tricky thing. Because I know we kind of questioned back and forth when Bayley finally made the heel turn, will she be able to make it work? And we're all in agreement that she certainly did. Naomi, it's kind of that same thing. Okay, if she does do this heel turn that they're teasing, obviously nothing's been done yet, will it have similar success to how Bayley's were? Or will this one just kind of feel too forced? Because a lot of times when they do turns like these, they feel forced. Bayley's felt natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that idea. To be honest, I know they're on totally separate brands, but one of my dream matches to see would be Naomi and Bianca Belair. And if Naomi turns heel and then, like, because it's not natural normally to play two heels together, right? Like, that's, I mean, I'm sure it's done. But, like, it's kind of going against normal wrestling guidelines, right? So yeah. I don't feel like it would be smart, because then there's matches I won't be get like be able to see with Naomi, and that would be a total bummer. And I think she plays a good baby face, and there's nothing wrong with her neon glowing fun dancing, poppy performance. So why change something that's good? That's like taking New Day and adjusting their whole thing just because you want to change something and make it different. No, what New Day is doing is working. So don't fix something that's not broken, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And plus also we haven't, since she got like this new entrance, you know, now that she's, we haven't even seen her like do anything really besides lose a lot. So it's like,
if you
take that away from her, that's so much of her personality that you're taking away, and her, so much of, you know, her character. And then you're like, I don't know. I mean, they could maybe do something different with it, but and still have the glow. And yeah, Gabby, what you're saying with Bianca Belair, I think those two would be an awesome tag team together as well. Like, I think it'd be interesting if it sucks because Belair's on Raw, so we're never going to get them as a tag team yet. But I think it'd be interesting to have, you know, either Belair, if you're going to turn her, then like have Belair kind of like be pushing Naomi, being like, you know, what's going on? Like, you know, you keep losing, blah, blah, blah. You know, start that way to where like then they become a team. But I don't know. Wishful thinking.
Yes. Charlotte comes out as part of the brand to brand invitational. This was kind of interesting because Charlotte is the NXT champion, but she is technically on the Raw roster because they wanted to be very clear on commentary that it's four times a year a superstar can travel from Raw to SmackDown or vice versa.
Wait, so it's four times a year?
That's what they said on commentary.
Oh, really?
You know that's going to change.
I didn't know that was like the thing. I didn't. Like that's how much I'm like not into this at all.
You know it's going to adjust. You know NXT will be involved if you're having the NXT Women's Champion show up on SmackDown.
And but there's no rule in WWE. Like there's really no rule. There's no real rules in WWE. They change all the time, like you said. People break them all the time. People get fired, rehired, fined, whatever. There are no rules.
I want to say one thing. WWE is very clever on this whole situation. You know, want to know why? Because WWE is not making up this rule. NBC and Fox are the ones that said, you know, according to what we're hearing on TV, they're the ones that say, we want to do this brand invitation, whatever thing, you know, to keep going, to, you know, shake it up a little bit. So when the ratings are bad, because they're not going to change like they were last year when they didn't change when everyone started showing up on every show, WWE can go, oh, well, we're just getting rid of it now. Fox and NBC decided not to do it. I think it's a way for them to just blame it. In the end, they can just be like, well, Fox and NBC asked us to do it, and we, you know, we're on their network, so we decided to obey the rules of what they wanted us to do, but we're going to go back to what we normally did. I think it's smart on their part. Blame it on, like, it's like every time they're like, oh, well, the Fox executive wanted me here, and you're like, no, the Fox executive didn't want you there. They're not even paying attention to what's happening here.
don't be surprised if between now and the end of the year, we have an on-screen character that is supposedly a Fox executive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. And that's I mean, if you're gonna find a way to get a general manager back, at least makes sense.
Sure,
but who would it be though? Someone brand new? Or
someone we wouldn't know.
I'd be fine with a GM or someone that we have no, like some brand new people that we've never seen before. Yeah. That like, or even just like actors, not.
Yeah, you know, I was saying this person would either be an actor or someone from the independents who's been like a referee or a commentator or something along those lines. Like, and then it's not like a ploy for it to be me. It's going to be someone who looks older. It's not me. Because if I'm saying, oh, guy who's been a commentator or manager in the independent, no, it's not me. I wouldn't play an executive. I don't look like an executive. But an older type person. I feel like could work. All of a sudden, this older guy, you know, the suit and tie, corporate. Oh, well, you got to follow these kind of guidelines, guys. I want to be cool, but we got to do this. You know, one of those type of roles.
And it could be, I totally am on board with this, because if it's someone that we haven't seen before, to where it's not a McMahon, not a retired wrestler, someone you haven't seen before, where they just kind of start showing up in the audience and like the camera's like following them, and you're like, why is that camera following that person? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When they have audiences again, I think it could end up being something pretty interesting, something they've never done before. It's always been someone that's in wrestling that has been in charge.
Yeah.
Besides Mike Adamly.
I don't think it's going to happen, because I don't think Vince, Triple H, or Stephanie, or Shane will give up that much control right now to do something.
Well, it's someone playing the role. It's not an actual
one. Just a story.
I mean, if it's an... No, I don't even think with an actor. Unless it's like a local wrestler and then they bring them in the ring and beat the out of them. Like, I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm sure it would eventually lead to someone hitting some type of move on the guy or girl.
And then they go, just kidding. You're fired.
Back to Charlotte. She's in the ring bragging about all her success. She's interrupted by Bayley and Sasha. Bayley, I mean, last time we saw you on SmackDown, I beat you for the Women's Championship. And I became the first and only Grand Slam champion. You know, she's not exactly the only Grand Slam champion anymore because of Asuka.
Yeah.
And Asuka has done even more so than Bayley, because Asuka's also won a Money in the Bank. Well, they both won Money in the Bank, but Asuka's also won a Royal Rumble. So Asuka technically is like the ultimate champion on the female side, because she's won everything. Charlotte is trying to ask Sasha if she's content being an afterthought based on everything they've gone through, and now you're just her lackey. Bayley challenges Charlotte to a match, and Charlotte accepts. It will be next week. And she ends by asking Sasha, are you your own woman, or are you Bayley's lackey? And leaves. I mean, you know, this is obviously, we've been saying it for months now, it's eventually leading to Sasha and Bayley. It's eventually going to lead to Sasha and Bayley. Why is this taking so long for Sasha and Bayley?
They're waiting for everything to go back to normal.
You're probably right. That's the thing.
I mean, just think of that first show when we actually have, when there's actual fans in the audience, I think
they're
going to
do everything.
Yes.
Every championship, cash in, debuts.
Yeah.
Rock will show up for no reason. Yeah. Everything.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
So, my personal feelings on this whole situation that we just talked about, Charlotte Flair and her in-ring promo, I thought, first of all, Charlotte Flair looked gorgeous. Her makeup on point, hair great, amazing job. That's called Gabby's makeup department. Just kidding. And then I just thought that the promo was excellent. Bayley keeps getting better and better and better. I'm liking her more and more and more as a heel. She just got such a vibe going on. And then Sasha Banks, great character development, great story development. Love her. Her outfit also killer on point, looking hot. But just their dynamic, I loved how like Charlotte was like, Bayley, can you move to the side? I'm talking to Sasha. And just the play on really getting inside Sasha's brain and her mind to get her thinking, you know, maybe I am being cast in the shadow. Maybe I am being shoved into this corner just to help out Bayley. When is it my turn? And you could see her noggin, like, and the wheels turning in there. And so that's what I like. It's just like these short moments where she's either playing to the camera or having these like thoughts where her eyes are moving a certain direction. And it just shows how talented they are, because we're obviously seeing where the storyline is going to go. It's just a matter of when, Josh, like you mentioned, when are we going to see it? But for sure, it's going to happen, because they are giving us the ammo. You know, they're fueling fire. We could see it. So I loved it. I loved everything about this segment.
It's like we filled up the super soaker with water, and we're at the point where the water is just pouring out. of the tub because it's just overfilled because we have all the ammo we need. Just fire the gun already and let's do it.
Well, to that point, actually, I think that will make for an explosion when it actually happens. So Sasha's going to be all fired up when she finally flips out.
Yeah. Quick little Forgotten Sons video package. They put up like the disclaimer, like, you know, the opinions that are said by the Forgotten Sons are not condoned by the WWE. And it's the same damn promo they've been doing for the last 2.5 freaking years. We chose to serve our country. We weren't welcome like heroes. We weren't welcome with open arms. So we will welcome you with closed fists.
They do closed fists.
Close fists.
Make sure that we don't actually forget.
Not flips, just closed fists.
You guys hear what I said?
No, say it again.
They want to just make sure that we don't ever forget the Forgotten Sons.
Yep.
They're drilling it in.
And they will
with
be
promos
forgotten.
Like that, very with promos fast. Like that, it's going to make us want to.
That's what I mean.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, am I the only one that kind of, I was fine with it? It at least kind of explained them a little more. Because I didn't really see them much in NXT, so like, I knew who they were, but it wasn't like.
You know what I would love? Go ahead. What if we had a package, Starbucks? Like a flashback? Of the Forgotten Sons and like why they're so angry and what happened to them. I would love to see more story like behind the scenes of
I totally agree with that. When they were setting this up and had the disclaimer, I was just like, okay, we're trying to do something. Let's see what we have. And I wanted to show maybe clips of them, you know, maybe photos of them when they were overseas. Fighting.
Yeah.
You know, just different things again to kind of build it up. And then, you know, let's say, I don't know, did any of them have just some regular type of job when they came back? And they're like, you know, instead of, I'm just using this as an example, I don't know. It was like, instead of being treated like a hero, I worked at a grocery store. Or, you know, just like, and there was like a photo of them as an employee at some store. Or something like that. It's just like, oh, now I see why you're angry. Okay, now we're building pieces like we did with Otis at the beginning of the show. I was hoping that they were going to start doing that with them, but this was just more of the same stuff that we've seen from them.
Yeah, and I mean, we are praising grocery store workers right now because they are one of the only people working still alongside, obviously, doctors and nurses,
essential workers. Yes.
So, yeah, it would be the perfect time to bring in a storyline like this. Like, we are essential workers and we're forgotten about, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, also, like, it's like a – all they need to do is an interview with them separately of them just talking about, you know, what it was like when they were in the Army or wherever they were in, you know. Was one of them in the Navy? I can't remember.
And I think they were Army and Marines.
Okay, yeah. But it's just like – it'd be so easy and simple of them just like talking about it and then like all of them talking separately about it.
Sure.
Cut it all together. And then like, I agree with you. And then even if they did like some kind of like reenactment thing of them of like just some kind of, you know, even just them like getting ready, like, you know, putting their guns together or something. I don't know. Like getting in their uniforms, like that kind of stuff where it's like, you know, I signed up because I wanted to, you know, help and protect this country and, you know, show what I was, you know, show what I could do. And I did that. But then I came home. What did I get? Nothing. And like, you know, there's a lot of ways they can go with this and be creative about it and make it interesting and make you actually care about them. So,
I see... tournament first round match, Daniel Bryan versus Drew Gulak. Another technical masterpiece like they had during Elimination Chamber. Gabby, I disagree with you on this part because like you said a little earlier how there was no question Daniel Bryan was going to win. I was thinking Gulak was going to find a way to win this match because, you know, they've been spending so much time together and they've been trying to push Gulak. Okay, well, if he can sneak a win somehow, like, you know, outsmart the teacher, outsmarts the student type deal, then, you know, okay, and then this could continue And we'll see what Gulak ends up doing in the tournament, if anything. But Dan O'Brien wins with the heel hook. And now Dan O'Brien's got a 2-0 advantage over Gulak. But then he cuts a great promo talking about how, you know, he's excited for that title, wants to defend it every week. You know, he's going to keep fighting for it. And, you know, that was the promo of a fighting champion.
Yeah, but I think that if they allowed Drew Gulak to win this one, then that would break up this duo. Daniel Bryan might not be so cool with it since he's been around longer. You know, he's kind of like the one training Drew and like teaching him to come along with him and kind of bring him up. But I have a feeling that, like, let's say there's two alternatives here. There's two ways this could work out. Either Daniel Bryan could win this tournament and then Drew Gulak go for Daniel Bryan, sure. Or Daniel Bryan doesn't win the tournament, but Daniel Bryan has something else that Drew Gulak wants, and then they have their feud there. But I don't, or it could just be that Gulak goes after somebody else. But you know, and then that could keep the integrity of their relationship, Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak. But I think like it needed more time. It would be premature to end them a bit early on this. And now,
right? No, I agree with that. Yeah,
it turned out the way it did.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Josh, where I was like, oh, yeah, Gulak, let's have him get a win here and get, you know, at least advance in the tournament, get a win over Daniel Bryan, so have that under his, you know, they could be 1-1. And then either he loses or he goes all the way to win, possibly. But this match was awesome. And then I still think that there's still the possibility of, after it, I was like, oh, first I was like, oh, kind of when Daniel Bryan won, I was like, ah, okay, fine. I'm fine with him winning. He at least advances. And then he cut that promo, and I was like, all right, I really want him to kind of win the tournament now because I think, you know, it'll be so interesting. It'll be better if he's the champion because I do think it'll bring something back to that belt because that belt has been worthless for the last, like, year or so, probably since the Miz held it. Whenever that was, 2016, 2017, whenever that was. I feel like they've done nothing with that belt. There's been nothing good happen with that belt that I can remember in the last, like, 2 or 3 years.
So yeah,
whenever the Miz had it on SmackDown.
They didn't do anything with Sammy. They didn't do anything with Braun. They didn't do anything with Nakamura. Who had it before Nakamura?
Don't know. Don't care. That's how much I don't care about this title right now. No, but I just think it was like you know, a Daniel Bryan winning would be good. I think if we get it's just so hard because Jeff Hardy just came back, so it's like, how do we get past that? Or we really have Sheamus just destroy Jeff Hardy next week to at least get that going, to at least, you know, now we're at least Daniel Bryan and Sheamus.
It's going to be the type of thing where Hardy will sneak the win. Bryan and Hardy will have a match out of respect, but Sheamus will get involved without Bryan knowing.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. Okay. I think it comes down to AJ and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, it's 100% going to be AJ and Bryan, and we're going to have a match for them.
Hopefully. And then that's when I think either Gulak turns on Daniel Bryan, or he helps Daniel Bryan win, and then he turns on him. Like, it's all leading to, I think, the Gulak turn.
Eventually, yeah. By the way, one quick note I want to make with Gulak, because we've talked about it for the last 4 or 6 weeks on the show. I have complained on the fact that Gulak keeps coming out to Dan O'Brien's music. Gabby, you mentioned they're probably setting up new music and new Tron for him. Like, okay, great. It was the same damn thing.
They're waiting for his heel turn.
Yeah, so yes. There you go.
But it's just like, why all these other weeks did we come out to Dan O'Brien stuff and we didn't do anything?
Maybe that's the secret, though. Maybe all of our suspicions are right. He will turn on Daniel Bryan, and for that moment, he'll have new music. Because why create a track right now for him when it's on the precipice of happening?
But nobody would even know because I didn't know what his music was. Because
you didn't know what his music was.
Yeah, I know nobody would know his original music, but I'm saying, what's the point of, like, putting work into creating a track if soon enough he'll turn.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It makes sense.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Backstage promo with Dolph and Sonya the Psychopath, because that's pretty much now my name for her.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was thinking the same thing watching this promo. Like,
well, she is.
She has some mental health issues.
First off, Dolph flew out there to just stand there for this promo, because he didn't say a word in this entire promo.
And he didn't need to.
Sonya, she sounds like at times she's about to cry. She's yelling. She gets quiet. She, like, there was 30 different emotions in this 45-second promo. I'm going to humiliate you again. What is Mandy actually good at? Not fighting, not winning, not being a best friend. All she's good at is being blonde and pretty. Where does that leave you when that ends? Put on your big girl panties and show me why you deserve to share a ring with me. God damn. Like, this was so freaking good.
Yeah. You know what she said, though? I still have plans for you. That's where I was thinking she was a psychopath. Because the way she said, like, I have plans for you still. Like, after all this, she's so upset and saying all these negative things. But she still has plans for her. Like, are these, like, good plans or bad plans? Like, they don't sound right. Too hot.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It was a great promo by her. And I mean, we got talked about a couple weeks ago, like, oh yeah, let's space this out over a couple months and we can have the singles match and then, you know, at the pay-per-view and then have the mixed tag at the next pay-per-view. They're just like, who cares?
Nope.
Next week it's on.
Boom.
They're like, we don't have time.
We don't have time to do this. So let's
get this done with.
Yep.
So is Bob Ziggler on Sonya's team? Because I don't know, his body language was very weird. He was just, like, to the side a lot. I feel like when two people are in cahoots and really about one another, they're both looking at the camera. Like, yeah. And he was just, like, letting her do all the work. Like, this girl's a little crazy, I know.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because earlier in our show, I kind of teased of my thought of what I kind of wanted in fantasy booking as Otis was looking for his partner. So we get to the main event of Miz and Morrison and Otis, and it ends up being Braun. And they pretty much made it obvious when a little earlier Miz and Morrison had a quick promo making fun of Braun, but that he's not dumb enough to be lured into the ring to have Otis and cash in the briefcase. What I wanted was I wanted Ziggler to be Otis's partner. And I wanted Ziggler to show up, be calm. It's like, yeah, I know it's weird. I know you don't like me, and I understand why. I know Manny doesn't like me. I understand why. Sonya's crazy. I don't know what's going on with her. Partner, and the least I can do is help you out tonight. And then they work like a regular team, win the match. Like a Ziggler kind of backs off, and then you play. It's all about the slow game, which they don't want to do, obviously, because they're throwing the mixed tag match away right away. But it's all about the slow game of Ziggler slowly trying to build back trust in Mandy and trust in Oak. Where then eventually something happens with Dolph and Mandy, and it gets to some weird predicament that Otis has to choose between Mandy and giving a briefcase to Dolph. That's what I want. I want to somehow.
Great. I like that last part.
Yeah.
Love people have to be involved with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Because it's going on right now. And we got the Royal Rumble and the Money in the Bank cash-in are the things that people look forward to more than anything all year. Put those two things together. There's a way to make it work. I don't have all the details. I didn't write it out. I don't get
why not, to man. What, do you not have time to do this?
Well, you know all the big bucks that AfterBuzz pays us, right? What? But I'm not paying for it. But there's your idea, world. Make it happen. And I think that would just result in, you want to talk about pull heartstrings and feel for Otis or feel for Mandy or whatever. That's going to do it even more. But we get this tag match instead with Braun as the partner. They do a double caterpillar and Braun dominates, gets the win from the team. And Mandy comes out at the end, distracts Braun for a second. Otis teases, getting rid of the cash in, and is like, I'm just joking. And then they all celebrate and the show ends. Like, imagine if Dolph was the partner and they just had like the little nod of respect and Mandy was out there confused. Otis was a little confused, but they're happy they won and Dolph walks away. Here we just have Braun and them happy. No Wyatt sighting, no Fiend. It would have been such a better ending of what's happening next. Because here it was just like, okay, they celebrated the end.
To be honest, if what you're saying actually did happen where Otis has to choose between the briefcase and Mandy, I think the dead giveaway based on his character is he's going to pick Mandy. So in a way, it wouldn't work because.
I think it could because then Dolph would then eventually cash in, win the title, and then he could feud with Otis for the title.
Yeah.
If they really want to push Otis to the moon, they really want to push this story to the moon, that's how you set it up.
I mean, yeah, because Otis has main evented the last like three SmackDowns and Money in the Bank. He was in it. So they're like, you know, rocket strapping this guy to the moon as much as they can. I think what's happening with Mandy is that we're gonna find out because when they showed Mandy the one of the other times when she was talking to him, that hacker thing showed up and it went into the promo for the hacker, but it did show up on Mandy's face, which was happening all last time before whenever Dolph was around. That's how we got the whole insider thing. I think we're going to find out that Mandy is like working behind Otis's back of like going to Braun and being like, hey, I'll help you, blah, blah, blah. If you help him, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's like she's still trying to pull the strings on Otis. And me personally, I think it's weird that, like, he only gets to kiss her once on the lips. He can't do it every time.
It's all on the cheek
every time. Come on, people. Come on. Like, why is it only that? To me, that just bothers me.
He's a gentleman. That's why.
I get that. He doesn't have to, like, make out and shove his tongue down her throat. I'm just saying.
It's not very hot when you do that anyways. Like, I'm talking specifically Otis and Mandy. Like, it's something I really want to see.
No, I get that. I know. I'm just saying that it would add, at least it sells the whole, like, oh, you know, she's my peach and we're together and blah, blah, blah.
She's a peach.
I just can't believe we're doing it. It went from Otis winning to now, like, fake cashing in. And also, just want to say one thing. When you were talking about Fiend, I think it would have been even, if you're going to add another person to this, you could add the Fiend. Because I think it'd been even interesting if, see all the lights go out, and when Mandy was on the stage, and the lights come back on, and Mandy's, like, down on the ground. And so you think
sees him and terrified or whatever.
Yes, yeah. Or either, like, the Fiend attacks her or something to add it to where, like, now you're having the Fiend and Strowman going against each other, and then adding Otis and Mandy into it of, like, how they're like, you know. Or it could be, you know, we find out that later it was really like Sonya that attacked her, but we didn't know because all the lights are out. But we think it's the Fiend the whole time. I don't know. There's so many ways they could have gone.
Wow. You just gave me an excellent creative idea for a story based on just like, it just came to the light bulb. What if you had Mandy in the center of the ring, right? The Fiend turns off the lights. She's kidnapped. And he has her in his custody. And she turns to be some crazy evil witch.
Ooh,
I like Sister that Abigail. Sister Abigail is Mandy Rose.
Sonya got it. I mean, I know, again, you're not supposed to put two heels together, but hello. They have a story, and I think it'd be cool to have, like, a fiercer Mandy go against Sonya, and Sonya actually gets scared and turns babyface.
Intriguing. I love Sonya the way she is right now. So I don't know about that, but I mean, it's an intriguing idea, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many possibilities right now. All of our ideas that we just shared, we know they're they're good.
In the end, we know that he's going to go to cash in. Mandy's going to turn on him, and he's not going to win the title.
On that note, let's get into wrestling rap.
Sorry to be a downer, but you know,
yeah,
we've seen this story.
On that high note, let's get into some news because we're way over on time already because we got so much to talk about, but we got news to discuss as well.
All right. Well, on Monday Night Raw, we do know that Becky Lynch came out and announced her pregnancy in a very classy, respectful, honorable way. It wasn't until the very end when she gave up her title to Asuka and she said, "You go and be a warrior because I'm going to go be a mother." And she got super emotional. It was one of the most beautiful moments I think I've seen on Raw in general. And what a way to like announce your pregnancy, you know, first time mom. And speaking of this whole situation with her being a first time mom, well, her happy fiance, Seth Rollins, he actually put out a message with a picture of Becky Lynch holding her pregnancy test up. And he said, "I took this a few moments after we got the best news of our lives, and I don't think I could have captured anything more beautiful. I can't put into words how much it means to me. Thank you all so much for your support over the last couple of days. The outpouring of love really has lifted us even higher than we've already been. December can't come soon enough. So I'm actually loving this, you guys, because I'm a December baby. So I really hope that Becky and Seth's baby comes out of baby Capricorn, just like me, the goat, you know, greatest of all time. Like, isn't that kind of funny? She wears a goat jacket and the Capricorn sign is a goat.
That's cool.
I didn't know about that. I didn't realize they had ranks. But okay.
Well, no, every zodiac sign has an animal associated with it, right? And so
I'm just thinking you said goat because you're saying, "Oh, Capricorns are the greatest of all time." I'm not thinking the literal goat. I'm so out of it. You're right, I'm wrong. Capricorns are goat. Yes.
Yeah. Confirmed it. So yeah, that would be like the coolest thing ever. Like, how ironic. But also, you know, Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins were supposed to get married this month, and obviously coronavirus has put a halt to all of that. So they're hoping to tie the knot soon, but it's definitely been pushed off in light of the current situation. So having those babies and getting to baby making before they get married. Next up in the news, we have more details.
Can I say something?
Oh yeah, of course. Sorry, I didn't even ask you for your opinion.
I mean, I thought watching that segment was probably the best segment that's been on Raw in 10 years, probably. Like, it was so genuine. The thing that sucks is I hate that. Like, that's just me. Like, reading wrestling news that I knew what was happening, or at least I heard a rumor that this could have been what's going on, where like I wish I didn't know that because I think it would have just been made it even better. But yeah, I just thought it was Asuka's reaction was so good. And I mean, I did a few things online. Like, she didn't even know, I don't even think she knew what Becky was gonna say, which I thought makes it so much better. And that she didn't even know that she was getting the championship when she went out there. So I just think, you know, if they could have had a perfect segment, they did. And I think the part that, you know, if you're watching it and you didn't get emotional, I feel like the most emotional part, I think, was at the end when Becky looked at the camera and was just like, "I'm really going to miss you guys." Like, that part was like, oh man.
Oh yeah.
Like, pulling at the heartstrings, like, you know. I just thought it was great. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the actual segment itself, Tom nailed it on the head. Everything that he described, I 1000% agree with. Asuka's reaction, Becky at the end of it, it was just a genuine, heartfelt moment. What I really respect and admire with this, and I know it's going to come off a little odd for me, being that I am a male, and because this is all about, you know, like the women's evolution and revolution and everything that has happened with Becky just going from being one of the wrestlers to the man being the most popular, not just woman, but like most popular wrestler on the roster, being on the cover of the video game, main eventing and winning WrestleMania, winning the Royal Rumble, holding on to the women's championship for over a year. And she's relinquishing it to be a mother. And that just shows, it shows even more so how strong of a person she is, in my opinion. Because here's someone who literally is at the top of her game, is at the top of the game. And the last thing on your mind in something like that would be to stop and settle and leave. All the money, all the fame, all the adulation. She still had it. It's still going. It wasn't going to stop anytime soon. But like, I've done all this, and now I should do this. I should do this with my life, with my fiance, with my body, raise a child. This is the right time to step away to do it. She's going to do it. I cannot admire and respect that more, because it just makes her legacy even greater than how it already was. And if she comes back later on, great. If she doesn't and just decides to be a mother when all said and done, that's fine too, because she's done it all and she's accomplished everything. And now this is the pinnacle of everything.
I actually love that you said that, because there are so many other female wrestlers that are very hesitant with all this stuff and these decisions. They're like, well, I'm at the height of my career. I feel like the Bellas even said this probably on Total Divas. Mm-hmm. You know, we're at the height of our career, is now the right time to have a baby? And there's all this like back and forth, because Brie definitely went through that sort of scenario where I don't feel like they actually did have a baby when she originally wanted to have a baby. I feel like they waited. So The fact that, yeah, Becky is at the height of her career, she's literally at the peak right now, and she's ready to just say, pause, I'm going to go experience what life is really about right now and be a mom. And that's so beautiful, because most people would just like sell their soul to the devil, like keep working and, oh, I'll be a mom later. I'll do this later, because, you know, I want to keep working and get this and that. And to be honest, most of the time when people say, you know, I'll be ready when, they never become ready, because they always want more. So I really admire that she's able to really be in control of her life and step into that role.
And going on what you're saying there, and the reason they do that, both women and men, is because they're afraid of, if they take that time off, they're going to lose their spot. And they're never going to get that success that they previously had.
Yeah.
She's not afraid. And that's what makes her even better. She's not scared. So whatever happens, I'm going to go be a mother now.
That's true.
And I think it's fantastic.
That's a really great point, but also not everyone's Becky Lynch and the man.
So fair.
Wouldn't blame them if they were a little bit nervous about their position in the company.
And I just want to say, like, you know, having kids.
Yeah, you got kids, Tom. So tell us about it.
First off, I'm mad I didn't take a picture like Seth Rollins did. when I saw that, I was like, why didn't I do that? Oh, man, that's such a...
You're busy making rings. You're building rings.
No, I was not at that time, no. but I mean, it's crazy, because I'm going through this now, and, like, you know, it's very fresh, obviously. It's weird. Once they're here, it's everything else just takes a second, you know, a backseat, and you're just like, yeah, don't care. You're like, this is what I care about. This is what I'm focusing on. I don't care about the rest. And it's just like, everything just kind of is in the rearview mirror, and not everything, but it just kind of, I get where she's saying, like, okay, I'm going to go do this. And This is what I'm focusing on now. It's okay. I can give up this belt, and it's not gonna destroy her to give it up. It's making her better. So it's like, yeah.
If anything, these are the moments that are the most memorable. Like, we'll always remember when Roman Reigns came out and announced he had cancer for the second time. We will always remember when Daniel Bryan stepped away to originally retire or take time off because of all of his concussions. Like, these in-ring moments where it ties into reality and their heart and true emotion are the moments that will forever be written in history that people will talk about for years and decades. So I think for sure Becky Lynch, like, this situation is one of them.
This is really the moment generation, I'm going to call it from now on. Not like, you know, like the moment era, because when was there really like a match that we like Shawn Michaels Undertaker? That's a match we'll always remember. Like a great WrestleMania match. But lately it's been like moments where like someone is, a real thing has happened to someone, and that's so when it either announced retirement, announced a return, like, you know, like that's...
Years ago, Triple H dubbed it the reality era.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And it's kind of like that. I mean, between, Edge's return, Daniel Bryan's retirement, Daniel Bryan's return, like I was saying, Roman Reigns having to go away for cancer, Roman Reigns saying he's in remission. Becky Lynch announced the pregnancy.
Shane McMahon returned. Like, that was huge. Yeah. A huge moment. Like, he didn't wrestle. He didn't do anything. He just came out on the stage and talked. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, these are big, like you said, moments. They're not matches. They're not sequences. They're moments. Mm. And this obviously is a moment that we're all going to remember. And obviously, Becky is certainly going to remember this moment because it was awesome.
Yeah. I hope she like shows that video to like her child when they're at an age that they can understand. Like, how cool would that be? All right. So ready for the next story, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. New details are emerging on Vince McMahon and the Oliver Luck XFL firing drama.
Woohoo!
We all are made aware of the situation. I had announced a few weeks back that Oliver Luck was fired by WWE chairman Vince McMahon and lead founder 4 days before it shut down their operations. And McMahon is claiming that he fired Luck for gross neglect, and Luck filed a lawsuit soon thereafter to reclaim that money lost that he said he was promised, and this was a surprise dismissal. Well, we recently found out that Luck is looking for $23.8 million from McMahon. That amount is, I guess, the remainder of their said contract that was put forth for 5 years and $35 million that was personally guaranteed by McMahon through his Alpha Entertainment parent, LLC, ensuring that Luck could sue McMahon rather than go through the U.S. bankruptcy court as a creditor. So in these pretrial filings, McMahon's legal team is saying that there was gross neglect of Oliver Luck's job during coronavirus and the pandemic, and he was making personal use of a league-assisted cell phone, and that he also signed a former NFL receiver with previous legal issues despite McMahon's previous orders to avoid doing so. Now, Oliver Luck has explained this and said that, you know, it's, I feel like he's saying that it's not actually true, as it is said, that Vince McMahon was made aware of the fact that this person was hired. They then fired the guy, and all these other claims about, you know, personal cell phone usage. He said that that was the main way Vince McMahon wanted to keep in contact. So that's why he was using the cell phone. So what do you guys think? Is Vince McMahon using these reasonings so that he can bail himself out of this high price tag? What's your opinion on the situation?
It just comes down to, he said this, he said that, he's lying about this, no, he's lying about that. They're going to go back and forth in court. It's probably going to end in some type of settlement. So he won't necessarily get the full amount, but just like to get it out of the news, get it out of the public eye. Because this story was published on ESPN as well. So that's never good. If like the biggest sports provider is talking about it. It's, you know, could Vince be right in some of the things? Sure. Good Oliver Luck. That's his name, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oliver Luck. Could he be right in some of the games? Absolutely. Could they both be wrong and lying? 100%. Who knows? But it's just going to be their lawyer is stating about this. This lawyer is stating about that. They clash. They'll settle eventually.
Tom? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Just Oliver Luck, tell Vince how much money you want. You're not going to get $23.8 million or whatever you want. Just tell him what you want and just let him write you a check and just be done with this. Because the amount of money you're wasting on lawyers and legal fees seems like whatever money you get is going to be wasted on that. So, yeah.
Get your settlement check between 10 and 12 million and run.
Yeah, exactly.
So next up, the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast reported that a Sting figure set for Mattel's Legends Series 7 line was recently removed. Now, there was a bunch of speculation regarding Sting's status with WWE, but it looks like he's not on a contract. So Mattel sent a statement to the podcast saying, due to circumstances out of our control, Sting needed to be removed from Legends Series 7. We'll look to include this figure in a future wave if he becomes available to us again. Now, we know Sting joined the WWE in 2014 and worked a bunch of matches. He was also at WrestleMania 31. He did retire from in-ring action because of a neck injury at Night of Champions in 2015 and was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2016. What do you guys think? Will he be included in a future line? What's going on with his status? Or will we see him on another promotion sometime soon?
Yeah, I don't think the story is really the action figures. I think the story is that he supposedly, his contract is done. And I mean, he's not the type of person at this stage in his career that is going to be a major player on whatever promotion on a regular weekly basis. But AEW's got other WCW guys that appear on TNT. He could show up there. He has a long history with Impact Wrestling. He could come back there as some type of role. Maybe he's just going to retire and just do special appearances for various things and just be completely independent. He obviously has earned the fact to do whatever the hell he damn well pleases. But I think it's an intriguing story that now the doors are open that he could allegedly show up wherever he wants.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that they're not just like the fact that they were signing everybody to like either Legends contracts or whatever just to keep them, you know, in house. And now just to kind of like quietly let him go. Granted, he only had what, 2 matches in WWE?
Yeah,
I mean, he's a WCW guy, so he's not a WWE guy for sure. Mm-hmm. But the name recognition is still there, so I think it's real interesting that they're just kind of like, okay, sure, you can go do whatever you want because he could show up in AEW just to like present a title like Bret Hart did or whatever, and just get some kind of payday.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's not going to be a wrestler. He's, you know, would he be someone's manager or advocate like Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard are? I'm not leaning towards it, but it's not out of the question. Could he play an authority type? Could he be the commissioner of AEW or the commissioner of Impact or whatever? Maybe, if he wants to go that route. I don't necessarily see him doing that, but I don't know him. He might want to. But yeah, he'll make an appearance somewhere. I mean, hell, Mike Tyson's showing up at AEW's pay-per-view. Who said Sting won't?
Yeah. Maybe they asked Sting first.
That's why. okay, next story up. WWE, as of early May, has finally created non-medical masks that you can wear during this pandemic. Now, you can pre-order them, but they'll be in stock as of June 1st, and 100% of the net proceeds are actually being donated to charity, so it looks like WWE won't even be profiting off this merchandise, and that's pretty cool in itself. The face masks were put on sale by the WWE shop on May 4th, and it looks like they're considered comfortable, breathable, and compatible with the CDC's guidance for non-medical face coverings. Now, WWE put out a statement that they're proud to offer these masks, and 100% of those proceeds, again, will be donated to a cause, AmeriCares Foundation Incorporated, who are delivering critically needed medical supplies to healthcare workers. And it's considered breathable polyester, an outer layer, and then a black breathable polyester inner layer with a cotton layer, I guess, in between. Not really sure how that works. There's an inner guard. And apparently that follows the CDC recommendations for those non-medical grades. But this is pretty cool because it seems to be comfortable, breathable, which I think is very important with a lot of these masks like people are making. It feels very suffocating to do this, you know, when you got to go out and run your errands. So breathability and comfortability is key. And it's awesome because they have a championship belt one. They have one that says the man. We also have Macho Man, Randy Savage. We have the legit boss from Sasha Banks. There's going to be a bunch of different designs that are coming out or are out right now that you guys can look up. There's even an Xavier Woods up, up, down, down YouTube channel themed mask. So, yeah, check it out. It's on their shop. Are you guys excited to see their designs? Are you happy WWE is doing this and also donating 100% of the proceeds?
I'm happy they're donating 100% of the proceeds. I'm happy they're doing it. It should have came out a month ago. Mm-hmm. And why did it just now come out at the beginning of May and no one can get them until June? You know, it's one of those things where, you know, if because of the, because there obviously there was that such huge demand, where there still is obviously a huge demand, but even bigger demand to get masks in the beginning. So, yeah, it might be a delay in it. So I think they should have made them available or to purchase in April with the donations. And then if by May 4th or whatever, that's when they start shipping because they had to get them prepared. Because we could have Tom start making some of them for them because he was doing the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, helping them out. Then I just feel like it's a great idea, but this should have been done a while ago.
Yeah, definitely agree. Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. I think they look cool, so it's like, I don't know. I would buy one just to donate the money, you know.
You guys prefer me?
Yes.
Yeah. No, we're ignoring the dog. Like, it's fine.
I'm like, is there a dog somewhere?
I didn't know if it was super loud. Sorry.
But yeah, I think it's a good idea. But I agree with you. They should have. I don't know why we're not getting them until June. So
yeah.
Agreed. Definitely like long overdue, but at least they're here now. Hopefully we don't have to go a year of this in face masks and public. It's not going to be that fun. But at least you can rock out in style. I guess that's the plus, right?
Yes.
Imagine they start doing live events and they give you a mask when you enter.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised if they would give you a generic one and then charge you $5 or $10 if you want like a wrestler one.
Yep.
Yeah, of course. I could see it's gonna be like a basic a sign for like the WWE. All right, guys. Last story of wrestling wrap for this week. Vince McMahon sent a message to Kevin Owens on Twitter on his birthday. I know I missed his birthday. I wasn't here. So
you did. We talked about it.
Oh, you did?
We brought up that you weren't here for his birthday.
Yeah. Well, I'll just state it again since I wasn't able to do it. Happy birthday, Kevin Owens. And Vince McMahon tweeted, "He's a fighter, a father, and an inspiration in his own unique way. Happy birthday, Kevin Owens." Agreed. Ditto, Vince. Love it. And that's the wrap of the week, guys.
All right. And that wraps up our show for the week. But obviously, we want to know what you guys think of everything we broke down here. You can tell us in the YouTube comments, tell us on iTunes, and talk to us in various forms of social media. Tom, how can people reach out to you?
Find me Twitter, Instagram. Check out my Etsy store, Connolly Central.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Gabby Loren TV, GABBYLORENTV. And also, please like and subscribe. Follow my new podcast. I'm on all social platforms. It's called Breaking Bread with Allie and Gabby. We do self-development and we add in a little bit of Torah. All religions, all belief systems, welcome. And that handle is at BBWAG Podcast.
All right. And likewise, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Josh Tariff, so you can watch Josh Talks each week. I have sit-down interviews with all different wrestlers from all different wrestling promotions. This coming Tuesday, we got Impact Wrestling's X Division champion, Willie Mack, on the show. You don't want to miss it. He's a longtime friend of mine. We catch up. It was hilarious because he didn't realize at first that it was me. And it was just really funny. Gabby, I'll fill you more into that off the air, but it was awesome. And of course, Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Tariff. And you could, for all your reality show and recap gossip, follow AfterBuzz on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Gabby Loran and Tom Connolly, I'm Josh Tariff, and we will see you later.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.